God, I'm still counting my blessings.
Everybody, and welcome back to Ignite Radio Live.
You are with Greg and Stephanie Schlieder over the five mighty stations of Annunciation Radio for the Almighty. And we invite you to join us to go more deeply into this great adventure of family at ilovemyfamily.us. Actually, there's no woohoo in that web address.
We expect that out of you. You are a woohoo is woven into your essence.
ilovemyfamily.us. And we direct you there specifically to the Live It Gathering Guide. It, Image Trinity, our calling, our vocation in life. It is an opportunity and a resource to guide you in coming together to go more deeply in conversation and prayer as a family or married couple. Mm-hmm. We're empty nesters. We're doing it. Or
doing
small groups or whatever it is. It's just a great blessing to be united with you all in that. Again, ilovemyfamily.us.
U.S.
Well, I was going to say no woohoo. Wow.
Anyways, you know, what makes this significant? Just we can't say it enough that too often as families, we're ships passing in the night. Think about your spouse, think about your children, and consider the question, do you really know them? Do they really know you? You know, we're not really wired to do that, are we, Dad? Just to be kind of relational. We're going to do a burning building and save people, but we're fearful about bringing the family together and maybe sharing meaningful, significant things in our lives. We just don't do that naturally anymore. That's what this is about. It does take a little audacity. You know, it's not just going to be something you feel like you do watching the Packers win the Super Bowl, go all the way. Anyways, okay, I had that good game this past weekend. You know, it's not something you're going to say, I'm looking forward to this game, and it's going to be easy to set aside that time, flip on the TV, and watch. However, it's much more consequential to say, this is more important, and it's not a drudgery. Like when you do this, the testimony of everybody who's done this has the audacity to bring their family together for a meaningful time. Find that time, by the way, start there. When is it? Early Saturday morning? Is it, you know, Wednesday night at 6:30? Don't say I'm just with love. Okay. This is brotherly love saying, don't say we don't have the time. You've got the time. If we did a survey of the discretionary time spent by each family member, how much they spend on a phone, how much they are engaged in digital media, you know the answer. The time is there. We have the time. It's the question of, do we value the time? And what are we hoping to get out of the time? You know, in a sense, we're going to be judged by this gift of time. So make the time. Step one, make the time. We just invite you to join us to gather for this thing we're going to do. Oh, Dad, Mom, what's that all about? Just trust us. You know, we leave this house and we just think there's an opportunity we can have to really get to know one another better. Our ship's passing in the night. We get you to places, soccer practices and school and all that's happening. That's important to us, but we really want to take some time and just connect with you, to just really kind of connect with kind of what's happening in everybody's lives. Those of you who are listening right now, that's what the Live It Gathering Guide is about. It's not meant to be this cheese ball thing. It really is, number one, the sacredness of making flag in the sand time with your kids to talk and pray. And the guide is to help you do that, right? It begins with family fun questions. Even if you just did that, went through and asked the fun questions, again, you're going to find them at ilovemyfamily.us. They're daily questions, five daily questions. This is, if you will, the relational currency, the heart of religion, the heart of ritual. Yes, ritual. Yes, religion. God gives it to us to imitate and glorify him. By the way, whether we feel it or not, that's what we're called to do in the Holy Mass. But this is that streams of living water that flow. It's like you won the lottery, but are you spending the money? It's a good analogy. You know, if you're going to Mass, you're receiving the grace, you've won the lottery, the grace is there from the sacraments. Are you actually taking the time to experience the joy and the delight of those sacraments? I can give testimony. We are far from the mark. We've made many mistakes. I've shared them. I have no problem just laying my stuff out there, other episodes. But the one thing, above all others, that I think made a huge difference in our kids personally loving Christ and the fullness of the faith, that is having them look at the world through the lens of God in a meaningful way and making a difference in others' lives. It is this, awakening them to the reality of Christ's presence in our relationships. That's Trinitarian. And they learn that from the earliest years by us gathering together to talk and pray, to break through the ice, to break through whatever weirdness, and they come to anticipate it. It's an occasion of forgiveness. It's an occasion of apology. It builds in them that character that has carried them through their early years, through the teen years, into the 20s, and now that they're getting married and getting on with their careers. It is, you know, if you will, an edifice, a strength against the culture that would want to divide us, want to, you know, the COVID stuff of the last 3 years, whatever you think about that, it's divided us. And the digital world has divided us. People have, they're more digitized than ever, but they're more emotionally estranged than ever. They're more emotionally isolated. They're more disconnected. Well, that's not just going to happen. And you can't rely on that great church event that you go to once a week or whatever to accomplish it. Our homes are given by God to be that place to encounter him alive in our relationships. And I can't say it strongly enough. It feels weird, but ask the question, why does it? What forces have been active in the world in our lives to make this context God has given us to make it seem like the most fundamental place to encounter him is weird or should require some kind of energy or effort beyond normal? We've lost the beauty, the art of love, the art of connecting with one another, and this Live It Gathering Guide at ilovemyfamily.us, I'm going to say, is one of the most consequential things that is a difference maker to spend the money of the lottery you won, if you will. Again, the grace is pouring from the sacraments to actually make it happen. Have the audacity. That's what you're going to be measured by 1 year, 5 years, 10 years when you see God, is did you have the audacity to actually follow his word and make the time and encounter him? This is an incredible tool to do that.
So, if I may add, that was a lot. All good stuff. Great stuff, in fact. Woo-hoo stuff, Gregory.
Thank you.
Just a little aside in my little way. It is a new year, right? And all these different resolutions that we make personally. What a great thing to commit to as a family, right? Do we ever look at family resolutions other than maybe during Lent, which, by the way, is a month away, less than a month. February 14th, St. Valentine's Day, Kate Genovese's birthday. Shout out to the Genovese's, is Ash Wednesday. So why not prime it right now? Why not prime it right now? As a family in this new year, so many graces lie ahead awaiting us if we but just be open to them. I also just want to say that there's never a perfect time, right? We can, anything that we want to commit to, whether it's losing weight, exercising more, better prayer life, personally, date nights with our spouse, it's like, oh, when this happens or when I do this, this, and this first, then I will. It doesn't happen, right? As you were saying, Greg, just make the commitment. Just do it. Lean into it. Be intentional. Have the audacity just to go there. You talked about, too, it being weird, if you will. I think the younger that one can start with their kids, it isn't, right? It's not weird. Right? Because you're
used to it.
You are showing them at early ages that this is a normal language, right? Mm-hmm. And just like learning a different language, the younger you start, the more fluent they become. So think of it, parents of young children, as you see the guide at ilovemyfamily.us, it really does foster a language of family communication, a family prayer, a language of forgiveness, a language of delving into the upcoming Sunday readings to prep their little ears and their little hearts for that. So let this also be an encouragement in that way. It's a real gift. We also invite you to go to CatholicRevival.us. And Greg, what will they find there?
They'll find there an invitation. Really, the deadline was last Friday, but because we are charged with this, we keep the door open as you're hearing this to join us for the amazing 9-week journey led by Father John Ricardo. We're calling it Rescue Project Home Edition. You can either host in your home, bring friends together on a weekly basis. The videos are absolutely free.
And wonderful.
They progress in a dramatic way, capturing the kerygma, the heart of the gospel, connecting us to it in a relational way. There's corresponding booklets that we do purchase or you can purchase. So option one is, you know, you host it in your own home right now. Think of 4 or 5 friends, pick a time that's common, stick with it. We'll help you with the format. Option two is, you know, fill that out again, CatholicRevival.us. Do it quickly. We will place you in a group. You can decide if you want it to be a same gender group, men, women, or a couples group. And you also select there the day of the week that you're available, all those that you're available, morning or evening. So again, CatholicRevival.us. Steph, we're reverberating here a bit. And so just let me cue you, our wonderful audience, for what's coming. We're going to share some family overflow from our time together through Christmas and into the new year, some thoughts and stories. As per our first episode last week of this new format, we are definitely going to address some current issues that are of consequence from the Catholic loop, and we are going to look at this coming Sunday's readings. So that's where we're going tonight in Ignite Radio Live here with Greg and Stephanie Schlieder. But I want to reverberate this theme because it is very current. There were hundreds of people at the Catholic Business Networking breakfast with Father Ricardo. Wonderful people. Every single one I know was moved by Father Ricardo's words, inviting us to think of ourselves not as thermostats, reflecting the culture around us, thermometers, but as thermostats to set that temperature, to be the ones that set the temperature. We've never had more capacities through Catholic radio, through digital media, podcasts, books, as today in giving these seeds of truth that move hearts to cause people interiorly to say, yes, that's good, I agree. Where there's a huge chasm is from these experiences of hearing it to actually living it. The enemy doesn't so much care that we hear the words and interiorly are moved by it. God desires us to be participants. The enemy's stronghold, whisper of, if you will, wormwood, hey, that's okay. You know, go to that event. Listen to that great talk. But what if you do not act on it? So back to the Father Ricardo talk. I wondered, how many of those who are there know people in their family in need of more fully knowing God's love? Now, let me ask the question, what are you doing about it? How are you, more than just prayer, actively engaged in the answer to the prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done? How are you actively seeking to create a context for them to know? And oh, by the way, it's going to take some audacity. Great if you send them a little text, right? Saying, I'm thinking of you, I pray for you. That is awesome. That's powerful. That is participatory thing. That is journeying with. Absolutely. But we're encouraging you, as I would every single person who attended and nodded and agreed with Father Ricardo or any other powerful words from your pastor, to be engaged by actively inviting somebody to this 9-week journey. Father Ricardo does the heavy lifting. He does the videos. They're powerful. They're free. They're accessible. 9 weeks in a row leading up to Holy Week. Father Ricardo's gift is to speak to hearts and communicate these truths with love. And I'll say the heart thing, and he spoke of this at that breakfast, and we affirm this, we echo it, we partner with him in this, is to foster friendship, is to foster a kind of missioned friendship where we're getting together with people in meaningful ways and concretely growing. As you read the papers, if you see have some discord, as we ought to, for things playing out in the Middle East or Russia and Ukraine or anything else, the sexuality, perversion, and warped stuff in this world, if that bothers you, here is the answer. How are we next year at this time going to see one or two or three people who have come more fully to know Jesus as a result of the decisions we make now? So I know I'm talking a lot, I'm fire hosing, but here is the big picture, the big plan. Isn't simply Christianity 1.0, where I go to my events and oh, I'm fed and oh, I did that and on to the next thing and I can't wait till next Friday. It's how are you actively engaged in inviting others to experience this? That's what we're offering. We're inviting you to commit to these 9 weeks, invite somebody to join you, either host in your home or sign up and you can come in our home. Additionally, following those 9 weeks, we're hoping that those who participate, we'll do another season, probably in the fall, where you will participate again as a, if you will, a friend, inviting another person and letting Father, again, Ricardo, guide this ship, if you will, but we get to journey and accompany them along the way. So a lot said right there, but I think the bottom line is if we're praying the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, this is the sincerity behind it. Where can you go to do that? CatholicRevival.us. Lean into it, right? Lean past your reservations, lean past your doubts, lean past the whispers, oh, you don't have time and whatever. Lean into it and just say yes. Think of that one person, invite them to join you. And I think we'll see a tremendous transformation beginning to take place in this holy Toledo.
You are a cute fire hose. That's what I have to say about all that. So you mentioned the Catholic loop, which I think is where we're heading next.
We want stories first. So coming out of, let's shift into a positive, not that that wasn't, it was, but so we had an amazing early December, children beginning to descend upon the Schlieder house.
I loved the conversation just because so often, right, and we know this, that when you're dispersed, you think that you told everybody something or you assume that everybody was a part of some conversation that, you know, they actually weren't. So what started out as a joke took on flesh and blood.
Sure did.
And each person, Greg and I included, did a little presentation, if you will, about the last number of months. And so it ranged anywhere from just heartfelt sharing around the supper table in beautiful conversation and reflection to literally a PowerPoint or two presentation, photos. One child did video clips and, you know, just the music, everything that you can imagine. And so that was just very fun and beautiful. And the conversation that that spurred and even ways that were expressed of more intentional prayer for specific things in their lives, which was beautiful. I loved also the intentionality of the gifts. So in the Schlieder house, since the kids were little, we would do Advent angels, kind of like Secret Santa. So what moved me, Greg, was the intentionality of the gifts that were chosen. And it wasn't just, oh, I thought of you when I saw this. It was just beautiful, heartfelt sharing.
Attentive to their person, their hearts,
and how they prayed for them during Advent. And it was that to me as a parent, you and I were sitting on the piano bench, very, very moved with tears in our eyes, just in gratitude to God for just all those graces. And just to witness it was really something. So those are two things that stood out under our time together. Of course, you know, I glanced out the window at one point because the weather was so nice. And I see the boys playing football.
Shirtless
on one side, shirts on the other. And sweet little Magdalena cheering from the window. And, you know, when somebody fell, oh no, you know, just the delight. And anyway, so just God is good. We are so grateful. The gift of family.
Before we go on to the Catholic Loop and address some of the key consequential news items of today, last few days, we're going to premiere, as much as we know, of Joseph's instantiation of his Counting My Blessings song, his first as a recording artist with Sony Provident. His first one had 15 million listens, views, follows, whatever that is. I don't know all the terminology, but Isadora Pompeo is an artist in Brazil. At one point, her version of the song was the seventh highest streaming song of all songs on the planet. So very blessed by this song, Counting My Blessings. And I have to say, you know, as people tell us, send us pictures on the radio as it's playing, or XM radio or whatever satellite, and we're blessed by it. And I've commented on episodes past, neuroscientists have said it's impossible to have discord and to be grateful at the same time. It's impossible to have anxiety and be grateful at the same time. It's the same part of the brain. So think about that power right now. Whatever you may be struggling with discord or anxiety or whatever, turn it in gratitude to God. Think of the things that he's blessed us with. And truly, Counting My Blessings, this song, the message, the invitation is greater than whatever prominence Joseph may have or the song. The invitation to literally be free, set free from shackles that the enemy wants to put on us, and be set free and live in the vitality of life of Christ. So what I'm going to cue up here is the version recently released with Matt Maher.
What it makes me smile the most is picturing our children as little tykes, if you will, absolutely loving Matt Maher's music. And so it was one of the first CDs I think that Annie may have owned, and Dominic was, you know, just utterly infatuated.
It's a good word coming from Wisconsin.
It's not the right word.
Utterly.
Huh? But anyway, just to the gift now that they worked together and made this song together. And
he'll be on tour with him in a couple months.
Yes. So just God is good. And but just, I've said this before, so moved at the thought also of little Joseph strumming your guitar, running around in his little diaper, dancing and singing. And
should he reprise that?
No. but just the little things that we do matter, the little things that we do have an influence. They make an impact. And whether or not we see it, whether or not it becomes such a big deal, if you will, someday. But I love that. Mm. I love that. So to hear Joseph's voice with Matt Maher's, very moving. So how about Annunciation Radio's world premiere?
With no further ado, we give you the world premiere, as we know it,
of Radio.
Joseph's song, Counting My Blessings, with Matt Maher.
It's like it was yesterday, I was praying for a miracle, scared to have a little hope. And now looking back today, seeing all the things you've done, I can't even add them up. 1, 2, 3, up to infinity. I'd run out of numbers before I could thank you for everything. God, I'm still counting my blessings.
So, wow. Premiere. Mm,
world premiere.
In quotes. It just makes me step back and again, just count my blessings, right? What a blessing all the way around. And which reminds me, as fire hosing began and I went off on different things, Gregory Richard,
yes.
We did not begin our episode with a prayer. So
we
how
did
about,
before our episode.
We did.
In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You are with us. You are present to us. You see our hearts. All who are listening right now, God, you see and you know us better than we know ourselves. We bring you our concerns, our fears, our thoughts, our doubts, the reality of our jobs, marriages, relationships, children, finances. In this moment, in this new year, Lord, we bring it all to you. And we know that you desire more than just to set things aright in a fleeting human way. You allow us such challenges and difficulties, shall we say, incompleteness, God. So we'll turn to you, who yourself will complete us. And we declare that this year is going to be a great year, God, because in everything, we're going to be mindful that it's custom designed retreat. Each of us, Lord, you've given a custom designed retreat comprised of all the stuff unique to each of us, a custom designed retreat meant for ever deepening encounter with you. May your kingdom come and your will be done first and foremost with us. Personally, right now, inhabit these souls made for you. We renounce the work of the enemy. We renounce his lies, his whispers, his influences. Anything that's not of you, at any moment prior to this brand new moment of life, this new year, we just pitch it out the window. And we give you permission to inhabit, to take the place, to flood us, Lord Jesus. You who alone know who we are, and make us for yourselves. We receive all that. And we ask this through the intercession of our Blessed Mother. For your glory. Through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay, love, what's next?
What's next is we are turning to CatholicVote.org. CatholicVote.org, they have this tremendous product called The Loop, the Catholic Loop, which gives daily tidbits on consequential news items along with prayer and some good articles that are great for spiritual growth. So The Loop Daily, again, really, all this derives from the simple prayer that Christ gave us. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. There's more to it than that, but that's kind of the centerpiece. And there's two pieces to that. One is that his kingdom is not simply a future age down the road when we die. He's saying on earth, that means here and now. That means the political realities that are around us, the things happening in our homes, our business, our schools, all of that is the realm of a Christian's interest. It isn't simply Christianity and faith, isn't simply the hideaway on my own, me and God, my prayer, and I don't want to talk politics. No, this is the realm God gives that he desires to claim, and he wants to do it, point two, through us. So when we pray, it's not simply God, you know, I'm sitting back on the sidelines and watching you do it, like watching the Packers win the game this past weekend. I may repeat that a few more times, which is pretty amazing, especially since the quarterback's last name is Love. But anyways, watching the game unfold. No, the Lord is, when we pray, it's, Lord, I avail to be an instrument of your answer. So the two things again, human landscape is politics, it's economics, we've got to go there. It's what it means to be Christian, it's what it means to be Catholic, get in the game, be mindful of it, and two, we're called to be instruments of it. And so the Catholic Loop, no, you can't have the radio on all the time because it's going to, you know, rob your soul of peace. We know that. You can't be reading and, you know, if you will, I don't know, beholden to all of these things that are just spinning. And I get it. Some of you may say, gosh, it's just a big game, right? It's just meant to keep, sell papers, or it's meant to, you know, make money. Yes, it's true that there are, you know, business forces behind the news that want to spin us, but that's not a Christian's perspective. A Christian's perspective are, okay, what are the consequential things? And may I not spend a second more than what is necessary to know what's happening? And two, Lord, in these things, reveal to me how I'm meant to know, what am I meant to do with this, even if it's just to pray for it. Secondly, to have some information if you're, I don't know, getting your hair cut or sitting on the side, you know, bleachers as your kids are playing basketball and you hear some adults talking or they're next to you and the stuff comes up. We need to be informed. We need to have familiarity as much as is possible. So Catholic Loop from CatholicVote.org. Simple tidbits. You can literally read this in 3-4 minutes, and they do have little click on read icons that can take you to the fuller article. So we are going to address these right now, a few consequential ones over the last week. I think, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Eight.
All right. So first one, the Department of Health and Human Services, HHS, issues a final conscience rule. Secretary of Health and Human Services, Xavier Becerra, issued a revised and final rule this week after stripping the robust protections crafted under the Trump administration. The Catholic Vote led an effort to object to the original planned rule change, which directly attacked the conscience rights of religious and pro-life employers. Again, you can go and read more about that if you would like, but it is not a small thing that anybody who even uses the word liberal or woke, who believes that we're tolerant, that those who run Catholic companies or businesses should have some discretion over the moral decisions they make. That's really what that's all about. Steph?
So, sorry, I am going to comment quickly. Xavier Becerra is Catholic, I believe. So that was the first thing that jumped out in my mind of, okay, I can complain about Nancy Pelosi, Joe Biden, fill in the blank with all these professed Catholics, and just get frustrated. Or I can see that name, read that, and be like, Lord, have mercy. And may I pray for his conversion as I pray for mine. but again, just a great opportunity to be incarnate, right, of the in the world, Christ's example. And you said, you know, even if it's just that we pray about these things going on, we should be praying all the time anyway, right? But there's nothing that is just in prayer. It is, that is so powerful, but we need to know and specifically address those prayers.
So just a quote from Tom McCluskey, who's the government affairs director for Catholic Vote, simply summarizes this decision as thus, quote, "Is this a win for religious freedom? I'd say it could have been much worse. The onslaught of public protest prevented HHS from sending us back to 2011, but the rule definitely leaves Americans at the mercy of Becerra's whims and whether he feels that the protections we do have are even worth enforcing."
Another story, over 200 FBI agents reportedly among January 6 protesters, a U.S. congressman stated that based on his investigations, there were at least a couple hundred undercover FBI assets at the Capitol on January 6, 2021. Quote, "real hard objective and conservative estimates would put the number of FBI assets in the crowd outside and working inside at well over 200, said Representative Clay Higgins, a Republican from Louisiana. Again, so much swirling around this story. So many
weaponized. Yeah. Very.
So you can click on that if you would want more information. So
please. The worst day in American history, January 6th.
Okay, stop.
The insurrection. I'm trying to imitate Michael Knowles a little bit. But, you know, listen, we got to avoid also in all of this, as Catholics, are we called to be conservative or liberal or Republican or Democrat? Because the answer is fundamentally no. We're called to be orthodox. We're called to be attuned to what is true and really consider what are the means to accomplish the truth, to accomplish the kingdom. Right now, that does decidedly fall on one political side with its flaws and mess and all of that. But we got to see, set aside the labels, lose the labels, and look at the objective attack and what is happening in this attack and the framing of good, godly people in many of these articles. And you can read between the lines. All right, third story. Massive rise in gender dysphoria. Diagnosis of gender dysphoria rose in every state except over one the last several years, according to new data. Virginia saw the steepest rise in gender dysphoria diagnosis at 274%. Indiana was next with 247% rise, and Utah was third at 193%. So, folks, simple commentary on this. Number one, which of us are not vulnerable to media messaging? If we think that we are immune from, you know, words and messaging around us, I think we've really, we're at risk. We're vulnerable. And just to demonstrate right here and now, a little thought experiment, literally a thought experiment. If you think that you are immune from what culture, media, society says right now, do not, whatever you do, do not think of a pink elephant. It's impossible not to have our imaginations or our thought world ideas impressed upon them. So if you are helpless over something as simple as me just declaring pink elephant running through your living room, imagine the capacity then to twist that into ideas and values. And so particularly with young people, so we're talking as adults, all the more the studies demonstrate the degree to which when young adults and youth are exposed to such ideas, it causes confusion, right? And do the data, I mean, do the research and ask, just do the research terms transgender and health. Just objective, already curated by liberal woke media platforms, Google and et cetera. So even on those platforms, do your own search, plug in the terms homosexual activity or transgender with health and see the conclusions it comes with on physical, mental, et cetera, and the debilitation, the impediments that these have. What parent wants their child to experience such challenges in their lives? Again, especially since we are vulnerable and especially since there's tremendous witness among many who've battled with, shall we say, disorders, disordered desires. And oh, by the way, if you're listening right now, and I'm going to just acknowledge this myself, if we're alive, we struggle with disordered desires. Mine are not theirs. But since when do we take a disordered desire and elevate it to the status of a moral good, unquestioned. I have this disordered desire, therefore it must be the case. Therefore, we're going to write law around it. We're going to protect it. No, where is the role of a parent, an adult that's so sorely lacking in saying, no, there's disordered desires, and we have this tremendous gift of Christ in our church that reveals our dignified nature, unsurpassed, my identity, a son or daughter of God in Jesus Christ. That's the proclamation. And in the ultimate end, it's simply this. We all ought to be about a transition, and that is from sin to salvation in Jesus Christ. It's that simple. And that's why the church exists. That's why we go to church on Sunday, to awaken us all the more to our dignified identity and to speak of these issues, to invite us to ever greater, deeper transformation of our minds and our hearts so that we desire what God desires. That's the gift of the church. So yes, come one, come all. You're all welcome. By all means, come into the church. But you know, this concept of church of hospital of sinners, by the way, first and foremost, St. Augustine's the one who cloned it, one of the greatest sinners ever. And what it does not mean, okay, church is a hospital of sinners. It does not mean and never meant in St. Augustine's sense, come and hang out in the lobby and drink coffee. A hospital is not just this place we are welcomed and come and drink coffee. No, it means that we come with a disease, we come with an ailment. And again, by the way, we all do, for the purpose of it being diagnosed. Again, through the word of God, speaking truth to our hearts and our minds, diagnosed, revealing ways that we have disorder, we have discord. Thank you, Jesus, for revealing that truth and a prognosis so that we can be healed. Where do you see that happen? You know, with all this conversation of come one, come all, tolerance, welcome. All right, fine. Show me where you're talking about the malady, the disorder, in a way that speaks life and truth and transformation to the sacraments and grace of the church so that one does not have to carry the heavy weight of physical, emotional, relational malady, burden, much less eternal supernatural burden. This is why the church exists. This is why we're talking about these issues. More to come. All right, Steph.
The admin targets faith-based foster care providers. Six Republican senators penned a Thursday letter to the Biden Health and Human Services Department against a proposed rule that seeks to force potential foster parents to comply with the LGBTQ, et cetera, movement. Quote, this is not just an attack on Christians, but on the children themselves. Catholic Vote Director of Governmental Affairs Tom McCluskey wrote on the pending rule. Good old Tom. He's out there.
Thanks, Tom. We're praying for you, buddy.
So McCluskey. Really just knowing so many different people in our lives who do foster care or, you know, just the whole adoption thing, we really need to be aware of these things and keeping it all in prayer.
Absolutely. Item number five, African bishops issue unified response to Vatican. So last week, this is Greg speaking, last week, we talked about the synod and we read the article that described it and the fact that there are going to be listening sessions throughout the country and diocese everywhere. And we exhorted you to avail yourselves to be at those or to contribute to those. And again, hopefully it's not going to open a door that questions the immutable truths of the church given for our salvation. Certainly an occasion to talk about or make clear those things, but hopefully it's about how can we more fully, quite frankly, make them accessible. Make the life-saving truth of Jesus Christ relevant and accessible. That's the only thing, in my opinion, worth processing or talking about or listening to. How can we more boldly, clearly speak the life-saving truth of the church and be instruments of reaching people, every person in our parish boundaries who we are charged with, entrusted with, appointed and anointed to love and reach with the heart of Christ, to draw more fully into the folds of faith. To me, that's the only thing worth listening to or processing. Okay, anyway, so this is, you know, another installment of this ongoing drama concerning the synod. Again, African bishops issue unified response to Vatican. In a unified statement, the Catholic bishops throughout Africa responded to the Vatican document that opened the door to blessings for, quote, same-sex couples, by stating there will be no such blessings under their leadership. They, quote, believe that the extra liturgical blessings proposed in the Declaration Fiducia Supplicans cannot be carried out in Africa without exposing themselves to scandals, unquote, the bishops wrote. Enough said.
Help Catholic Vote keep DEI out of Catholic schools. So here's something that, again, The Loop or some other news source, so many people don't even know what DEI is, right? And it's becoming more and more prominent, thrown around. So it means diversity, equity, and inclusion. So that is what they're referring to. I know that I would hear it and and could never remember what those letters meant or what it actually was all about. But so even just, again, clicking on this article will help inform.
Lose your way.
I'm good. Catholic Vote President Brian Birch, God bless him, is calling on Catholic high schools to disclose if they currently harbor diversity, equity, and inclusion programs. Quote, these Marxist programs are a perversion of Catholic social teaching, Birch said. Concerned teachers, administrators, and parents are invited to report any DEI activity in their local Catholic schools to Catholic Vote for investigation. Or even how about just the diocese? So I read stuff like that, and that's where my mind goes. Like, are we talking to our kids? Are we, who are in brick and mortar schools, are we aware of what they're being taught? Do we know the programs? Do we know the protocol? Do we know their policies? And it's not just reporting to some news people like Catholic Vote, although if you're moved to, go for it. As long as you've addressed it first with the teacher, the principal, your priest, our bishop. Remember, it's not just about, you know, causing craziness, or some people like to use the word polarization, but it is our motive one to bring truth, to bring what belongs there. Is that what motivates us, or to be like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that this is going on, and you know, I'm going to skip all these things that can have an impact just to get it out there. And so those are gut checks also.
So in a Catholic school system right now, if you are listening or if you hear of certain storms swirling through a teacher reporting or kids or things that are allowed or policies, say proms in high schools and concerning clothes or First Communion, all of these issues are beginning to surface. They're unavoidable. We will face them. Oh, by the way, as Catholics, we have every right and responsibility, and it's not judging somebody. They can choose to go elsewhere. We have a right and a responsibility to uphold the faith that we profess. And a couple things, I think, simple lines that help clarify this. Respect for another's conscience does not mean to abandon our own. Respect for others and their conscience doesn't mean to abandon their own. Again, we're speaking with the voice of Christ in the Catholic Church, who desires that we all be saved. Another way of looking at this is tolerance of falsehood. So you hear this word tolerance. We need to be tolerant. If we're tolerant of falsehood, how are we not intolerant of truth? You can't have it both ways. And finally, we're called to judge. Catechism 1786, I believe, many of them. And by that, it's not a capital J judgment. Jesus exhorts us for making that final definitive judgment of the state of somebody so way beyond our pay grade, only God can decide. That's what he means in scripture when he says that. However, we are called to make small J judgments of a good or evil based upon good formation by the church. We do it all the time. So I'll put it this way. It's impossible not to judge in that sense. To disagree is to prove my point. I'll say that again. It's impossible not to judge. To disagree is to prove my point, because it would require that you judge me as bad or wrong or indifferent. So with that landscape leveled, Catholic leaders, please have the courage, have the confidence, have the language to speak this truth. There's going to be articulation of doctrine, and it's either going to be Christ's or non-Christ. It's that simple. We're either going to judge something in light of God's truth, or we're going to judge it in light of a truth other than Christ. Dare I say non-Christ? Dare I say anti-Christ? Let's just peel back the layers and just look clearly with a bright light shining on the reality. Catholic schools exist to form young people to become saints, right? To live the abundant life that God has caused them to live. And these little, you know, incursions through good people meant to live in relationship with Christ, let's see these as opportunities to love them. And oh, by the way, love is desiring the objective good of another. It's not just what they feel or what they think, which means it means anything, and it's absurd. Why even use the word? Love is desiring the objective good of another. If we truly love somebody, every parent knows this, you're not going to let your little four-year-old touch the hot burning stove. I know that technology has evolved, but no, we're not going to let them run on the road because they want to do it, because they have this, you know, ill-formed inclination to run into a busy street. No, a parent has the responsibility to set the rules for that wholeness of life. That is love. That's the nature of love. And oh, by the way, it's going to might take the child crying in that instance. So love is attentiveness to those that God has put in our lives. And we absolutely have to find ways to lovingly engage in these conversations. All right. Item number six or seven, whatever we're on. Hertz dropping. This is more of a off you know, the road of the more intense conversation, but interesting. Hertz dropping costly and popular electric vehicles. Hertz Global Holdings announced plans to sell, is interesting, a third of its electric vehicles and refocus its business on traditional gas cars. So if you're listening to this as I am or read this, I thought it seemed to me the wave was going decidedly with all of the government support in the direction of electric cars and scraping fossil fuels, getting rid of them, you know, wiping them off the map. But here's a major company dealing with cars, vehicles, rental vehicles, that's saying, hey, we're getting rid of them. We're selling a third of these guys. So when I click on that, just a couple notes here. The company's, quote, the company's sell-off of 20,000 EVs, electric vehicles, began last month and will continue over the course of 2024. Business Insider indicated that EVs are thousands of dollars more expensive than comparable gas vehicles. Quote, the average new car sells for around $46,000, and the average new EV costs closer to $50,000, according to J.D. Power, the Insider noted. Another thing, they also lose their value faster. The Insider reported, quote, a recent study from IC Cars found that electric cars have an average five-year depreciation rate of 49.1%, almost 50%, compared to an industry average of 38.8%. And our final news item, we're going to end on something rather positive. Let Steph read this.
So grand finale. Woohoo. Thanks for hanging in there with us. Another woohoo. Guess what? It's March for Life Week.
It is. Amazing. Very consequential.
The second Life Fest set for January 19th, the Sisters of Life, huge shout out to them, and the Knights of Columbus have partnered to launch the country's second annual Life Fest in Washington, D.C. The massive celebration of human life will kick off on the morning of Friday, January 19th at the D.C. Armory shortly before the 51st March for Life. And Damascus Worship and our son Joseph will actually be there on stage to lead some prayer and such in song.
Which is very cool. So we do lift up right now in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Lord, just give us the habit to go vertical when we experience consequential things. Forge in us the right heart set and mindset, a countenance of the kingdom that declares you as Lord, that declares you as overall. And Lord, make us instruments of your answer in all of these areas. Give us humility to know how small and short and incomplete, and but for your grace in all these areas that show just human poverty of spirit. And just may the grace of the sacraments flooding through us, flood into this world in the way we think, in the way we feel, in the way we interact with one another, and in a special way, Lord, as we mark the occasion in January, set up initially by Roe v. Wade and then overturned, we do ask, Lord, for continued healing grace to move in the hearts and minds of all of those right now who are pregnant, mothers who are influenced by the toxic thinking of the world, who don't know their own value, Lord. Make them mindful of your love for them. Let your hands reach down right now from your eternal realm. Let blood and water pouring from your side right now pour into the hearts and minds of young women and the fathers of their children, destined for a relationship with you. May they know that they're not alone. May they know, Lord God, that their arms always ready to reach out for every concern, every struggle, anything that they may have, that there's a loving world present here to reach arms around them and journey with them in every single way. We just claim them for you. We claim this world for you. Let there be revival, Lord God. Let there be revival. We ask this in your holy name through Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
And I repeat again, I've said this before. We have a home. We are blessed with bedrooms. It's a very nice atmosphere and environment. If you are in a crisis pregnancy situation, and it's a result of not having a home or someone to, you know, provide for in some ways, we are available. We are available. And there are many others, by the way, if you're hearing this throughout the country. If you are in that situation and you simply would like, need a place of loving care, who knows what those circumstances may be. But we are one of them who are available to you to be a source of loving presence and provision as God may lead. And if that's you, I'm going to say, send me an email, alive@massimpact.us. And obviously just do know, you're not alone. We are praying for you. We're journeying with you. There's so many people who love you. think of the beauty of what is happening in your life right now, in your body right now, from that vantage of 20 years down the road, and the tremendous grace and gratitude that will flow from that beautiful relationship that God sees that you may not see right now. Just we make that part of a prayer. Amen. So here we go. The gospel for this coming Sunday.
Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
After John had been arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God. This is the time of fulfillment. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. As he passed by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting their nets into the sea. They were fishermen. Jesus said to them, "Come after me, and I will make you fishers of men." Then they abandoned their nets and followed him. He walked along a little farther and saw James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They too were in a boat mending their nets. Then he called them. So they left their father Zebedee in the boat, along with the hired men, and followed him. The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Lord Jesus Christ. So, Steph, my quick 2 cents is clearly it's go time. Jesus, for over 30 years, or 30 years, has been, you know, the silent, hidden life. We don't know much about it. We do know the beautiful scene of finding him in the temple. Great mystics have spoken and filled some of that out. Neither here nor there. It's go time. Jesus is inviting those to follow him. What was it about Jesus that was so compelling for them to completely set aside their entire lives? It wasn't just set aside their work for an hour. Hey, come and hang out. I'm going to give you a nice little lecture and you can go back to it. I mean, think about that. It's a totality here that he's inviting them to. I mean, most of us would think, well, how am I going to provide for my family, my wife, and my children? We read in the gospel, this as well as all the others, that there was an immediacy that corresponded to the immediacy of his go time, of his asking them, an immediacy of response. And it's worth just me asking, so what struck me, challenged me, inspired me, what questions does it raise is, what is he asking of me right now? Like, I believe all of us listening right now, God is clarifying, always speaking to us and inviting us into this relationship with him to do something, probably not necessarily to give up everything. Oh, he could be, but probably not that. But are we, number one, are we even listening? Are we attuned to God? What are you asking of me? And by the way, what's criteria for response? It's not my comfort. It's not my calculation of whether or not I can do it. What are the conditions we put on listening to God's invitation to us and answering? That's what I'm kind of in a beautiful way haunted with. And I want to be all the more clear in being attuned with you, Stephanie, my wife, and praying through, you know, how all the more we called to in our movement to respond to God's grace.
Oh my goodness. There's always so much there. The first line after John had been arrested. So focusing on the name John, St. John the Baptist, right? So, you know, I'm thinking, gosh, I wonder what the apostles felt, right? Were they discouraged? Were like, here is somebody that they had followed and been excited about and listened to and were committed to and just all of that. And he's arrested, right? And so kind of like, what are those areas in my life where, you know, I may be discouraged or disappointed? And yet, as we talked about earlier in this show, nothing is for naught, right? John's role had been exactly what the Lord desired it to be. And not just planting seeds, because I think that phrase is overused sometimes and it just kind of becomes whatever. But like truly, where are those areas that the Lord is calling me to be faithful in responding to him and let him take care of the rest, let him bring it to fulfillment, let God be God. And we are just faithful, dignified followers, if you will. So just that idea kind of intertwined, you know, the nets, what nets, what things in my life is the Lord asking me to just lay down, right? We're trying to catch different things so all the time. And, you know, the good, the bad, the indifferent, what are those areas that my nets aren't effective because they're not the nets that the Lord is asking me to use, right? And, you know, just again, that obedience thing. What? They're fishermen. You know, why would you put down, okay, the Lord's calling me here now to do this. So just that obedience in faith. And then lastly, don't quite know, you know, so I throw this out to you, our dear listeners, to kind of maybe pray into it. Just the phrase, he walked along a little farther. So what are the areas that the Lord's asking me, the Lord's asking you to just go a little farther. Like, what does he have in store?
I love that.
You know, just, I mean, Jesus walked a little farther and he saw James and John, and that's where he called them.
So good.
Who are those people that the Lord has for us to bring an encounter to them? If we just pursued it a little more, if we just had the perseverance, if we just got out of our comfort zones a little bit and went a little farther, to allow the Lord to be experienced in a deeper way, or even for the first time for many people.
Magnificent. And the phrase strikes me also in conclusion here tonight is they were in the boat mending their nets. Which of us in this field of souls, in our churches, reaching out to people, our spouse, our children, haven't been wounded, haven't experienced our nets, if you will, of love torn and stretched in ways that have left us maybe bitter, even contemptuous. How many of us have gotten on the sidelines of faith because just the pastor said this thing, or that happened during COVID, or fill in the blank, we're just maybe filled with yuck? Well, the message to this also, I think, is that God is a great mender. Recognize that those moments are meant to be just steps along the process of more deeply saying, Lord, I give that to you. I surrender that difficult, hurtful time or experience with the church or family, whatever it may be. I surrender it all and I give you permission to inhabit my soul and dominion so that I can all the more fully rely upon you. Folks, you've been tuned into Ignite Radio Live. We are so blessed that you're along this journey with us in the new year. So blessed to really be going deeper in this whole idea of heaven come to earth. It's a prayer, but it's also a declaration. Heaven is on earth through us, through the sacraments, through the church. It's also a prayer for its greater manifestation. We've got to be aware of the stuff going on. We've got to be aware of those issues appropriately so we can be engaged with the heart of God, the mind of God, the love of God, to reach out and with confidence attend to those around us. So we do encourage you, as a final invitation, check out CatholicRevival.us. Make the commitment to join us for this amazing 9-week journey. Go to ILoveMyFamily.us and make the commitment with your family on a weekly basis to talk and pray. We've been talking about this for 10 years as a radio program. It is so powerful. If you do it, the more you do it, the more powerful it is. There's few things that are more practically powerful in forming your kids to be kingdom kids. No, by the way, it doesn't just mean this kind of like over-the-top religious-y thing. No, it means to be the best human being they're meant to be. It means to excel in every area they have because they've got the right reason and purpose and motive, and they've got the grace flowing in them to do that. That's what this Live It Gathering Guide, in its essence, can accomplish. So I love myfamily.us. You decide that you're going to do this on a weekly basis and join us. Get the free app, massimpact.us/app. It makes it read accessible. It's free. You have all the content there. Join us and probably thousands of others at this point praying the Regnum Christi daily prayer. If you don't have a prayer life, so important. Easy way to do it. Begin with this Regnum Christi daily meditation. It's the gospel with three considerations in prayer. A great language to share with your spouse and with other people. Great thing to do first thing in the morning, like a thesis statement of an essay or something. That's the important time. We connect with Christ. We become aware of his love for us. We receive that grace, and it overflows from that point of connection in the morning through the rest of the day. Again, you'll get that on the app, massimpact.us/app. And as always, we're very grateful for those of you who do support us financially. Certainly on a monthly basis, which allows us to continue. You know, it's not something we're good at. It's not something we do well. We'd rather just be about the mission. We just trust in God every moment. And we're so grateful for those who do partner and come alongside us. We are fully accountable. We have a board. We're a nonprofit organization. Our salary has been the same. We are all in. It's been the same for 10 years. And so just join us and partner with us in helping to see this mission more fully established to reach more people at ILoveMyFamily.us. Just click on that partner tab. We'd be so grateful for you if today you made a pledge just as an act of encouragement, and certainly if you become a monthly partner.
And so we wrap up tonight with all glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit,
as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
God bless you.
God bless you.
I can't count that high.